inquiries, and that Mueller will also look into Jared Kushner's business activities. On Friday, Trump tweeted criticism apparently directed at Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, a career prosecutor, who appointed Mueller. If Trump wanted to fire Mueller, he would likely have to go through Rosenstein or remove him. In the annals of Washington investigations, the president's jeopardy is unusual because he so often makes his own problems worse. Normally, when the Capitol's investigative machinery cranks up, presidents quiet down and let their aides and lawyers speak for them. Trump, however, made his fortune largely by talking about himself, and it appears to be the only methodology he knows. Judging by the former FBI Director James Comey's vivid sworn testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee regarding the president's inappropriate conversations with him, it would seem almost certain that Trump has had similarly ill-considered discussions with others. He told Lester Holt of NBC News that he fired Comey because he was upset about the FBI's investigation into his campaign. Obstruction charges partly turn on the offender's intentions. Trump admitted his. All of this is unfolding at a time when the country's politics appear to be as volatile as they were in the Watergate era. Last week, an Associated Press poll reported that nearly two-thirds of Americans disapprove of Trump's performance, and a similar number don't think he has much respect for the country's democratic institutions. The Republican-controlled Senate is preparing, in secret, a health care reform bill that is likely to deprive millions of Americans of insurance coverage. The Democratic Party is divided, and without an obvious standard-bearer, yet Democratic voters are galvanized. In Virginia's gubernatorial primaries last week, turnout among Democrats was almost double what it was during the last contested primary, and it dwarfed Republican participation. It has been some time since the two major parties both lacked a clear popular leader and faced such a roiled electorate. Perhaps all these disruptions will be addressed through elections and by constitutional and legal means. The Constitution does appear to be alive and well. Prosecutors and the FBI have vigorously defended their independence. Judges appointed by presidents of both major parties have blocked the administration's discriminatory travel ban, and a robust and well-sourced Washington press corps is keeping the public apprised of the administration's activities. Yet this remains a disquieting political season of hatred and anger. According to the Anti-Defamation League, anti-Semitic crimes rose by more than a third in 2016, and even more steeply in the first part of this year. The Council on American-Islamic Relations reports a more than 50% increase in anti-Muslim attacks last year. A researcher at California State University, who has been tracking hate crimes in 9 metropolitan areas, found a rise of more than 20% last year. Earlier this month, near an elementary school in the largely African-American Hillcrest neighborhood of Washington, police found a noose hanging from a beam at a construction site. As of yet, no arrests have been made. Trump Hotel's Weird Pitch by Adam Davidson from The New Yorker Magazine, June 26, 2017. A couple of weeks ago at Trump Tower, on the same spot where Donald Trump announced his presidential bid, Eric Danziger, the CEO of Trump Hotels, formally launched a new line of three-star hotels called American Idea, which will cater to lower-income rural areas of the country. It was the most blatant instance yet of the Trump family's profiting from its political power, in this case by shifting from its long-standing focus on luxury markets in order to make money from the very demographic that put Trump in the White House. Within the hotel industry, the event raised eyebrows for another reason. It was unbelievably haphazard. Danziger, though a veteran of the industry, had almost nothing to show his audience. There was no website or marketing material, and the logo was just the brand name and a crudely drawn picture of a light bulb. A company representative told me that she wasn't sure if it was the final logo or a work in progress. It is incredibly rushed, Jan de Roos, a professor at Cornell University's School of Hotel Administration, told me. This feels like someone woke up on a Saturday and had to roll something out in 10 days. De Roos has worked for many hotel companies and oversaw, for Hilton Hotels, the construction of some of the first Hampton Inns.